Accession number 30651, Mr. Bill Rolston, Reel 2. We're talking about this brief period when you're back with your mum, your father's from the army, sometime around about 41 or 42, anyway, in that. Now, what anything else about the air raids? I mean, do you remember them in particular? It was only a few days before you went back, but...
Yeah, a later stage I can remember.
Let's come back to them then. Yep. So, did she send you back?
Yes, she took me back, and they moved me to someone else. Didn't stay there only a few days, and the woman, they got me a billet in Langford Budville, and I was supposed to move there, go home from school, and go to this house from school. School finished at 3 o'clock, and the American forces had moved in the outskirts of the village, and kids were saying, well, you go up there, you'll get gum, you'll get sweets. So we went up there, I went there with a crowd of boys, and eventually I came home from school at 10 o'clock at night.
So tell us about, what was it like with the American camp?
Yeah, they was... we weren't allowed in the camp, we were sort of on the outskirts, like one part we weren't allowed, where the lorries and all that were. All the GIs, and all chatting to us like, you've got big sisters and all they want to know is if we had a big sister, if your dad's in the army, where's your mum, like, things like that. And then they just give us gum and sweets.
They were friendly then?
Yes, yeah. Anyhow, I got home to this woman's name was Mrs. Harris. Was it Harris?
I think you had Harris before, but...
Yes, no. No, it wasn't Mrs. Harris. I forget her name now. But when I got home at 10 o'clock, she said to me, I can remember these words very, very clearly. She opened the door, when I knocked, she said, son, your pyjamas are in that case. Don't get them out because you're not stopping. I'm getting rid of you tomorrow. I can't have the worry of you. And so then I moved from there, and... she asked all the other people in the village, the billeting officer, if anyone would have me. And the only alternative was for me to live with her. Now, this was the creme de la creme.
So you did go to her in the end?
Yep, to this woman. This was a massive big house. I mean a massive big house. Her husband was the owner of Fox's Cloth Factory, which is in Wellington, a massive big factory. He had a car, and so he was getting petrol for when petrol was on the rationing, like for running his business. They had gardeners, we had horses, a big sweeping staircase. Now,
it's a large house then?
Massive. This was massive. And when I went to bed of a night, I had to put my school shoes outside the door. And had to have a bath every night. Well, being from the East End, we had a bath Friday night. But it was a bath every night. We had a playroom. She had three children. One of them was at uni. And the other two were in private schools. The one who was in uni was named Kit. The one in the private school was Robin. And I had a daughter named Clemency. We had rocking horses. Oh, you name it. And the only thing was, if we went for a ride on a pony, you had to clean the tack. Because the man was only in once a week.
So this is a real middle-class household. I mean, this is...
No, upper class.
Upper class,
The beds to the garden were full of strawberry plants, so you could walk around and take the strawberries. And he was also Mr. Mannering, or whatever his name was, in the Home Guard. He was the big chief.
So you nearly messed this all up by being late the first day.
Yes. No, this was the second house. She, I messed it up. This happened because I was late home from school the first day,
yeah.
So she moved me on. She wouldn't.
So this
have
new one. Ah, yeah. Right. So I thought she had to take you, but
no.
Right.
No. So when I got to the big house, right, breakfast time, it used to be get down, yeah, to have wash and get all ready for school, go down into the dining room, and you were waited on. You were asked if you wanted porridge, blah blah blah, if you wanted cooked breakfast, and we all sat there as a family, and I was treated as a member of the family. If I went riding, I had riding breeches. Now you can imagine, like, an East End kid with job for boots and riding breeches. Very, very good.
Did you behave yourself? Because I get the sense you might have been a bit of a live one. I don't mean you were a bad
guy.
No,
I'll tell you this right now. So Robin, the younger son, he said to me, it was about this time of year, about April, March, April, he said, you come up the quarry with me and help me pick some primroses for Grandmama. He said, and then next week I'll help you pick some and we'll send them to your mother. So I said, okay. So I went up there and we picked a load of primroses for Grandmama and we went round and took them to her. Now, Grandmama, she was living in the life of luxury. Afternoon tea, she had the teapot brought to her and the kettle of hot water, and she had a thing on the table to boil the kettle, a gas ring sort of thing. And that was a game, was real, it was heaven. But now, like, if you've got that sort of life, you would love it, anyone would. Anyhow, when the next week came, I said to him, you're going to help me pick some primroses for my mother? So he said, no, he said, you're only the vacuary. So I said, am I? Wallop, get hold of that, so I'll give him a right-hander. And busted his nose. And she, Mrs. Fox, wasn't very happy with that. Like, you know, I was acting a bit like an hooligan.
Had you broken his nose or just,
no, just
made
busted
it bleed?
Just
yeah.
Made it bleed. And that was okay, and yeah.
So she let you off? You
oh, yeah. Yeah, I was okay. And then he had all the home guard after some time at the big house, right? And to what I know now, must have been a Bren gun. And they were laying down and he was drilling them and showing them the workings of this Bren gun. And I was peeping behind the curtain, watching it. And when I looked, I thought, I'm going to see what he's going to do with that. So they had a room, and I don't know what the significance of this room was, but it was all shelves and empty boxes in it, cardboard boxes. And he put this spring gun in the room. So, and I know where the key was. It was above the top of the door frame. So I've got the door key out, and I've got this Bren gun. It was as much as I could do as a kid, like, to hold it. And the maid was coming up the stairs, this big sweeping stairs, and I was standing on the top with this Bren gun. I don't know how I was holding it, but I was going to you're dead. And she screamed. I was trying to shoot her, like, you know, I wouldn't even know how to pull the trigger, I don't think. And they didn't like that. So she said, William, you'll have to go if you don't behave, like, you know. So I said, all right, I'll be good, I'll be good. Anyhow, I mean, Mum came down there, and my dad, he was in the forces now. And they came unannounced. My brother, who was living with this school teacher, he was getting on fine, like, you know. He was really well. Anyhow, my mum and dad were coming in to Wellington, and they see these two boys. I was walking along with a job because riding breeches, all the riding gear on, and she didn't even realise me. It was me, like, you know, until she seen me, like, and then grabbed hold of me, and they really made us welcome. And there was an air raid while I was living in that house.
Now, there weren't many air raids, were there?
No, they were.
The one you mentioned before, and then.
There was a couple that. What used to happen, I think they were trying for the. Germans were trying for the airplane factories at Bristol. They used to make a lot of aircraft there. And if they used to get chased off with the fighters, they'd run across, like, and they'd just drop their bombs anywhere, like, to lighten their load. Anyhow, she had to get rid of me. She said, like, I've got to find somewhere else.
Hang on, you were telling the story about the air raid.
Oh, yeah. In the air raid, we used to, they'd wake you up, like, you know, get you out of bed, and they had a cellar at this house, and we all used to go in the cellar. We had, they used to call them siren suits, so like these kids wear now, like with the hoodies and the trousers. We had to put them on, and we used to get there, and to make things easier for us, we used to get a treat in there. And one thing I can remember having was a box of dates. I don't know where they got them from in them days, but whether they'd been kept, like, from earlier in the war. But we all had a couple of dates. It's the first time I can ever remember eating them. And then she had to get rid of me for some while.
Do you know why? Or?
No, but now this was where I really did shine. Going to move me to Runnington, another little village, and I was going to live with the local Bobby, policeman. I don't know if you've ever heard of the guy Jack Hargreaves, used to do Town and Around, and he was Jack Hargreaves' daddy, he must have been, because what he didn't know about the countryside, it wasn't worthwhile knowing. And he used to take me with him, and so it was absolutely wonderful. He'd say to me, he'd let me collect bird eggs. You could take one in them days, and it wasn't against the law, but no more than one. And he used to say to me, if we have a look along here, this is the right habitat to find a wren's nest, or I reckon we'll find a robin's nest here, like, you know. And we used to find these sort of things. When it was the rabbiting season, him and his brother used to go rabbiting, and they would catch rabbits, probably 100 rabbits in the weekend, take them to the railway station, they'd slit their legs and fix them together. Probably send 100 rabbits up to a market, like, you know. And then another little thing he would do later in the year when it was fishing time, he'd kill a rabbit and he'd say to his wife, Alzora, give me a stocking. And she'd give him one of these thick old Lyle stockings, and he'd take his little penknife out, gut the rabbit, put all the inside in the stocking and tie it up over the river, had a river running through there. I said, what are you doing that for? He said, you'll see later on. Well, the flies got in there and the maggots were crawling all over everywhere, falling down in the river, and then he'd go and fish just at the right few yards downstream from that. We wouldn't be there half hour, we'd have three trout. It'd only take three, one for her, one for him, one for me, and we were living on that way, sort of thing.
Sounds like you were enjoying that almost as much as the other house, house.
This was absolutely brilliant, and I thought this was a big house. Now, it was right next to a church. I then became a choir boy in the church. Used to go to church three times a day.
Now, why was that? Had you become religious, or did the policeman want you to go?
No, he just said, you go to church. I could look out of the window and look out of our window like that and couldn't be seen in the graveyard. I was frightened to go to bed there at first.
So you were a choir boy?
Yeah. And I used to sing in the choir with the guy whose wife used to starve me. And we had to go to choir practice on, I think it was Thursday night. And it's only a little tiny village church. We used to go for our choir practice. And we'd have to go morning and evening time. And then I used to go Sunday school and all that. Well, they then presented me with a Bible, right, the church. And it was written in, and now I'll expand on the Bible later on in life. And I've still got the Bible to this day. And I'm not religious. And it was absolutely wonderful. He wrote to me mum and said he wanted to adopt me. He had no children of his own. He was a 14-18 war veteran. He'd been wounded. And another time I took the bull, a cow to the bull, right, and I was involved with that with him. And if there was piglets, he had to count them as a police officer, but he'd always count one less, right, and they'd have, you'd get pulped then a few 6 months later, right, where he was getting at the fiddle. And when I took this cow to the bull, I said, well, what's he doing up on his back like that? He said, he's trying to have a look over the edge. And I said, over the edge? He said, yeah, he just wants to look over the edge. He said, he can't get high enough. So I said, oh, that's okay. And I'll expand on that a bit later. So everything in there was lovely. Like, he bought me a bike, a policeman, and I got on well, and got fed up then. I went to NABBA schools, went two or three schools.
How are you doing at school?
Okay, just okay. Like,
were there any subjects you particularly liked or disliked? You know,
no.
Because you're getting older now. You're 10 to 11, 12.
No, there was nothing I sort of disliked or liked or disliked. It was just education, like something you had to do. You've got to learn to read and write. And I was holding my own. Not outstanding student or nothing like, and I wasn't a dunce sort of thing, like, and probably midstream, like, as I suppose you would call it. Anyhow, I said I want to go home to my mum.
Now, what was causing it? Because you were having such a good time. Homesick,
I think, like, you know.
Anything provoke it in particular, or?
No, nothing really, like. Oh, they had a Land Army girl. She came there with a policeman, and she used to get hold of me and say to me, like, I'm now getting 10, 11 years of age, something like that. Let me kiss you. And she was about 19, like, and that used to worry the life out of me, like, you know, a girl kissing you at that age. And I say to him, I don't like that, Mary. She keeps wanting to kiss me. So old Fred used to say, I wish she'd want to kiss me. You know, but he was a truly nice man, like, and she was. The only thing I had to do there was every night from school, I had to go to the local woods, any one of them, with a basket, I suppose, about 2'6", something like that, 18 inches, 2 foot wide, and pick up a load of sticks, like dry wood, that was for the fire. And this was, seemed like a very, very big house. And I said to him, I want to go home. And he said, you can't go home, like, you know, he said, there's doodlebugs coming now in London, like, and these V2 rockets.
So you're getting into, what, 44 now?
Yeah.
When you're 11?
Yeah. So I said, no, I want to go home. So anyhow, no one wouldn't let me go home, so there's only one way to do it. I'll go home myself. So I went to the road and started making my way home. I got home and I got told in no uncertain terms, you're going back tomorrow, you can't stay here, they drop these things and come anywhere, like. And anyhow, I said, let me stay for a week. Let me have a week's holiday. You write and tell Alfred that I'm going to have a week's holiday. So she wrote and told him, I don't know too much about that. And then I heard doodlebugs go off, like, and P2 rockets. And that was scary, really scary. Like.
Do you remember what, I mean, the V1's the aeroplane one, the V2's the rocket.
Yeah.
What do you remember of them?
Just that when the light went out, that's when they're coming down, sort of thing. Like, and the bang was a lot louder than the ordinary bombs.
That's V1, that is.
Yeah. And that wasn't too nice, like, because you'd be on a bus and there'd be no air raid warning sometimes. It just, everyone's, oh, the light's gone out, like, you know, and everyone's watching and it'd glide on and you get an almighty bang. And that was that sort of thing. Went back and stayed back with him for quite some time.
So you went back to Runnington?
Yeah. And
did he mind the fact you'd run away, or did he understand?
No, he was a real nice, he was a gentleman, and he was a boy's man, like, you know. He was, I'll give you an example of what he said to me one day. There was a guy named Fleming, had a farm. And he said to me, you ever been in Mr. Fleming's orchard scrumping? So I'm a bit wary about saying this, like, to the village policeman. So I said, why? So he said, well, look, I'll tell you, don't get in there. Don't go in that old air. So I said, well, why is that? He said, there's long grass there and he'll see someone's going in there. Wait till we get up here. He said, look, the grass is all short there and you won't be treading it down. So I said, go in there, like, this. He knew what kids would do, and he sort of told you what to do, like, you know, so you wouldn't get caught. He was a boy's man, like, you know.
In a sense of fun.
Yeah, and everything about him, and he gave me a love for gardening. You know, he said to me, come, get out here and help me, like, you know. And he had a very nice front garden in this house. We had an allotment. He had a bit of a small holding. And, oh, must have been 500 chickens. And they were all roaming sort of in massive, big sort of wired-off pens. Geese, ducks. And the life with him was a wonderful life. I went with him making cider with the local farmers. You know, everything that he done, he would include me, like, to teach you a way of life. From
what about the making cider? Did you drink? Were you allowed to drink?
Yeah, I was allowed to drink it.
Was it scrumpy? Or
scrumpy, yeah. And they used to put a layer of straw, a layer of apples, straw, layer and apples in a big press. And then they had a big screw going through the top with a lid, and two of them used to keep turning round and round, and you'd see it all come down. It was how it used to come down. It used to go in an old bit of guttering and then go in to a big funnel with a bit of linen in it, sort of thing, and strain all the bits out and put it in barrels. And all the old farmers used to love it.
But were you allowed to try it, or?
Yeah, only try it, like, yeah. I mean, I never got drunk or nothing like that. Then I came home.
And when was that?
That would be...
Is this finally came home?
Yeah. Come home, and my mother now moved. She'd moved to West Ham, to Canning Town. And...
Now, when was it you came back? 45 or 44?
44. Yeah, it'd be 44. And I was just living with my mum. My brother was still in hospital all this time. He'd now moved from, he was in a hospital, in a military hospital in Taunton. And he was in...
Now, why was he in hospital? This rheumatic fever?
Yeah, he had, it affected his heart. And they brought my dad home 2 days after D-Day because he wasn't expected to live, my brother. And he came home 2 days after. And
did he live? I mean,
yeah, he lived till he was 21, and he died eventually at the age of 21. And he was in this military hospital, and a man in the next bed to him, he was asking where he lived, and he said, "Oh, I just live in London." So he didn't know where. And when my dad came home a couple of days after D-Day, he saw this man in next bed. He was the next door neighbour. And it was, you know, just he'd been injured at D-Day. And he was whipped out, and so my dad saw him.
Now, what about your new home in West Ham? Were you in another block of flats? Or
no, we lived in a house. Well, it was a house. My aunt shared the top floor, two self-contained flats, sort of thing. It was okay. I then went to another school. That was in Custom House. I forget the name of that one. And then,
had you fallen behind, or how were you doing it?
I was holding
still
me.
Still all right.
Still holding me on. And then I went. No. I went to Clarkson Street School, that was it first, Canning Town. And now I developed a little bit of a new R accent, like, oh, them over there. And the kids in East London, like, there's a bloke who talks funny. He's a little bit of a wally. So, first day I had a fight with someone at a school, a boy named Elfie Pink. And, we were on the debris, like, and there was a load of cinders on the debris, and someone kicked all the cinders over us, and of course, I got it all in my eyes, and Elfie Pink knocked bow bells out of me, sort of thing. And then I got on all right with them for a little while, and then Elfie Pink and another two boys named Sergeant, I think they were twins. Another one, Ronnie Fernigo, we were going to the off licence.
So you were friends now?
No, not now. And we were going to the off licence to get some lemonade and some crisps, which was at the bottom of our road. And they wanted to know where I was going, and I was with a cousin of mine. So they kept asking, "You got any money? You got any money?" So I said, "Boy, what do you want to know for?" Like, and I thought, "Ted, go," I said to my cousin. "You get going, Ted." So I grabbed hold of Elfie Pink and give him such a wallop, like, and ran. And now, after that, we were all friends. They accepted me, like, you know. And I got on okay with all the kids. Then I moved to